Arizona's unemployment rate was 4.5% last month. The national one was a little lower than that. My next guest says that means the U.S. has essentially reached full employment with a jobless rate of about 4%. John Williams is the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco and was in the Valley yesterday to speak at an economic forecast event sponsored by ASU's W.P. Carey School of Business. Williams joins me. And John, even though the economy seems to be in pretty good shape now, what do you look to as potential warning signs that things might be starting to take a turn for the worse?
Right. So when you look back over history, there typically are signs when the economy is getting out of balance, is the way I think of it. And so if you look back in the mid-2000s, you know, of course, we had the huge housing boom, which hit this area really, really hard. But we've seen other periods where inflation takes off or other signs that the economy is out of kilter. So, you know, that's kind of, I look at, you know, over history, what are the different signs that we look at, including look at stock market, housing market, inflation measures and things like that. And right now, quite honestly, things don't look that out of balance. Things like look like they're in very good shape. None of these things are sending off any warning signals today.
What do you make of that?
Well, I think that we've gotten a better balance to this economic recovery today than we had, say, 12 years ago. If you think about the U.S. economy in 2005, if you think about it like as a car engine, it was really running on off a couple cylinders, and one of them that was running very hot was the housing market. Today, the housing market still is good, it's improving, but we're seeing consumer spending on a good track, we're seeing business investment, and we're actually seeing the global economy improve too. So I feel like we're running on more cylinders with maybe a more balanced economy.
Do you feel that there's a disconnect between some of the economic indicators that economists look at to determine whether or not the economy is doing well or not, and the way that people who are not economists feel about how maybe their personal economy is doing?
Well, I do think that. And of course, one of the issues that comes into that is that there's a lot of, you know, it's not one economy. I think of it as there are literally thousands of microeconomies around this country. It's a very diverse country. And even in the Western region, we have a lot of different microeconomies. The other thing is you know, we've had this big increase in income inequality across the United States. And so for some people, things are going really well. Wages, salaries are growing rapidly, and others not so much. So from my point of view, an important part of my job is to go around to different parts of the 9 Western states that I represent for the Fed, talk to different people in different communities, hear what's going on, so I get a full picture of what's happening.
Let me ask you a little bit about your employer, the Federal Reserve, and there will be a new chairman. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what you think it means for Janet Yellen to be leaving. I mean, does that matter in terms of policy, in terms of leadership, style, structure at the Fed?
Well, I think that Janet Yellen's done an absolutely fantastic job at the Federal Reserve throughout her long tenure there. But I am confident that Jay Powell, assuming that he's confirmed by the U.S. Senate, will step right into that role and do a great job as our next chairman of the Federal Reserve. I think my own perspective is it's more about continuity and building on the success that we've had in recent years of getting the economy back on track. It's not really going to be about a change in direction. Obviously, it's different personalities, different approaches, but I think he'll do a great job.
The Fed has been so, I guess, in the news, for lack of a better word, over the past several years as the country has come out of the recession and tried to get out of the recession. And it seems like what you guys do has been more under the microscope, more maybe in the spotlight. I'm wondering, is that a comfortable position for you to be in? I mean, would you rather be maybe a little more anonymous and just sort of do your work? And not that you're trying to hide anything, but maybe that, you know, each of the big meetings isn't covered by, you know, hordes of media members.
Well, I think that the world has changed. I think that in the past, back in the day, the Federal Reserve was able to operate behind the scenes and not get as much attention. I think in the world of social media and expectations in our democratic society is that we play an important role in our economy and our society, that we need to be open and transparent. And with that comes a lot of reporting on what we do, a lot of questions about what we do. And I think that's actually appropriate. I think it's a good thing.
Do you see the role of the institution changing at all going forward?
Well, you know, it's interesting because throughout the history of the Federal Reserve, there have been a lot of proposals to change its structure, its format and things. I actually think, it's a unique organization where we have the 12 Federal Reserve banks, the Board of Governors and all of that. I think it works well. I think it gives us very good perspectives from around the country. But of course, you know, these are decisions that are made by Congress and the administration. So we'll see if there's any change. Right now, I don't anticipate major changes to the Fed's kind of how we do things. Structure.
Has the fact that the world and the world's economies have become so interconnected changed the way you do what you do?
It has. I mean, if you think about monetary policy maybe decades ago, you could really think about the U.S. economy as like an island. Today, when we think about the economy, we obviously understand that it's a global economy with trade around the world. Companies outsource or production or, you know, countries, over 100 countries around the globe. Also, our financial markets are really tightly connected. So we spend a lot of time studying what's happening around the world, thinking about what risks there are, and thinking about our decisions in the context of a global financial system.
In one of your earlier speeches that I read, you quoted a very old phrase about when France sneezes, Europe catches a cold, and you related it to, you know, when the U.S. sneezes, in many ways, the rest of the world catches a cold when the economy is in a problematic spot. Do you find that still to be the case? Is the U.S. still the global economic leader that it has been for years and years and years?
Well, you know, the world is changing. Obviously, China has become a much more dominant economic entity in the global system. But nevertheless, as we've learned over and over, the U.S., and especially the U.S. financial system, is still the center of the global financial system. The dollar still is a central currency in the global trade and global finance.
I want to ask you about something that a colleague of yours at the Fed has been talking about recently, which is cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and the possibility of that maybe gaining traction. Maybe the Fed would have some oversight role over that potentially at some point. What do you make of cryptocurrency as a potential more mainstream kind of way to pay for things?
Well, it's a fascinating question. It's something that we're following in the Federal Reserve, and I'll tell you, my colleagues around the world are following this very carefully, too. Right now, what we're seeing is the underlying technology behind these currencies are now being developed and researched for lots of different uses in the financial system and in the economy. In terms of an actual digital currency, I think it's kind of a fascinating question. Right now, we're not, you know, actively pursuing that. But I think down the road, I wouldn't be surprised to see some governments or central banks think about either adding to or maybe supplanting paper currency with government or central bank issued digital currencies that, you know, literally electronic dollar. I don't see that happening in the very near future, but it'll be really interesting to see whether, you know, 5-10 years from now, we're seeing a movement further and further away from paper currency and checks and things like that to much more efficient digital based currencies.
Do you think that could happen in the U.S.?
I think it could happen in the U.S. at some point. Again, it's not something we're actively looking at now, but I know, you know, I live by nearby Silicon Valley. There's a lot of really innovative thinkers. There are people in other countries who are working hard on that. And I think that, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll probably see some serious proposals about how that could be done.
John Williams is president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. John, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you. It's great to be here.